Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, March 7th, 2010.
Turn with me tonight to the 151st Psalm. Don't look for it in the Book of Psalms because it isn't there. Turn to the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And this is a psalm that deserves every bit as much as the others to be in the Book of Psalms, but then the Book of Psalms would have an odd number in them. We'll read first through first from the first verse of the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16 and 1. And they brought in the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Now this was after David had already been accepted by all Israel as their king, not just Judah. And since the days of Saul, the Ark of the Covenant had been taken captive by the Philistines, and the tabernacle that Moses built had been destroyed by the Philistines. A Levite named Obed-Edom had custody of the ark when the Philistines sent it back on an ox cart, until David had prepared a place on Mount Gibeon to house the Ark of the Covenant. Gibeon was near Shiloh. He was also very near Jerusalem. He didn't bring it to Jerusalem because its place in Jerusalem was a building site. They were gathering all sorts of materials, ashlar stones and cedar beams and curious hangings for the veils. So he took it to Gibeon and rededicated the Ark of the Covenant and the sacrifices. And it was a time of great rejoicing. You can read all of this in the previous 15 chapters here. And they brought in the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a piece of bread and a portion of meat and a cake of raisins. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke and to thank and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him were Zechariah, Jehiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jehiel again, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound on the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant. On every new moon they did that. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. This name Asaph, who is to be the head of the music, we encounter him quite frequently in the Book of Psalms. He is responsible for a number of psalms. So David appointed a day of thanksgiving to be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. And here is what they sang. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Notice that's plural. Peoples. Nations. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, ye chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion and for an inheritance. When you were few in number and of little account and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, he allowed no one to oppose them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples, again, plural. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, for he is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of peoples, plural again. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult in everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. A beautiful psalm written by King David on the occasion of rededication of the ark. And this is a very striking psalm in many respects. For one, I would say it is probably the very first missionary hymn, because this is a missionary hymn, as we will see. Reading through it again, oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name and make known his deed among the peoples. This first portion of this psalm from verse 8 to verse 13 is a call to worship to Israel. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations, among the Gentiles. David was a very far-seeing prophet. The Spirit of the Lord really wrought wondrous psalms and predictions, prophecies through David. He calls on Israel to evangelize the nations, to evangelize all of the peoples of the earth. And there was a time in the Second Temple times when Israel was a missionary people. They sent out missionaries to wherever the scattered remnants of Israel were gathered. Jesus even gave note of this when he told the Pharisees, you cross land and sea to make one proselyte, but then you make him tenfold times more the child of hell than yourselves. But not all of the Israel's missionaries were of such as that. In fact, there was a kingdom on the, it's the Euphrates River in the north part of what is today Baghdad, that about 150 B.C. was ruled by a queen who became a convert to Judaism. And the whole nation followed her in converting to Judaism. And they were still worshiping in the Jewish religion in the time of our Lord and until the destruction centuries later. There were missionaries who went to all of the scattered metropolises, and through the synagogue reached out to the people around about them. Paul found this to be true when he did his travels. Remember, he first went wherever he stopped into the synagogue, and he preached unto those gathered there. In some of them, most of them were Jews, and a few of the were Gentiles who had embraced Judaism to a greater or lesser extent. In others, as in, say, Corinth, there were more Gentiles adhering to the congregations of the Jews than there were Jews. So Israel did indeed become a missionary people, and they will again. We are assured by the word. Sing unto him, sing praises to him, till all his wondrous works. That is, this is what Israel was to do in taking the knowledge of God and of his law unto all the Gentiles. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. That is, those among the Gentiles who seek the Lord. In fact, in the Second Temple times, they coined a name for these Gentiles who were attracted to Judaism. They called them God-fearers. They were not full proselytes, but otherwise they worshipped in the Jewish way. And we see in the New Testament, Paul found God-fearers along with the Jews wherever he went. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. What an exhortation to us yet today to seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and judgments that He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, the sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. And we are assured that all, by Jesus Himself, that all who seek will find. So this is the call to worship to Israel. It is their call to fulfill what the law intended when Moses gave it, that they should be a separate people who would take the knowledge of the Lord to all the nations and thus fulfill what the Lord had told to Abraham, that in him all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, of course, that time was a limited time with limited success. That time will again come. Now in verses 14 through 18, we have the call to Israel to come and to worship. O offspring of Jacob, his servant, and sons of, O offspring of Israel, his servant, and sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. Israel claimed the Lord as their God. Indeed, God did too, for He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was their Lord and their God. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth, not just in Israel. His judgments are in all the earth. That's what it says here. And so God, we can be sure, is at work in all of the earth. And nearly always, He chooses to work through His people. Remember His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. If we take a generation to be 20 or 25, then 1,000 generations would be to about 16,000 years. And that was 3,000 years ago that this was written. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. In other words, in practical terms, forever. The covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. And we read in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews concerning this, that the Lord had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. In Hebrews 6 and 14, Again, I have a wrong reference. But it's where he said that well, no, that's the correct one. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final confirmation. So when God had desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled for refuge, that we might have strong encouragement to hold fast the hope. And when he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. And so here we have two immutable things that Israel could hold fast to as a surety, and which we can hold fast to as a surety. And those two immutable things are his promise and his oath. So now in beginning in verse 19, we see his call to all the nations. In David's time, he was calling to all the nations to come and worship the God of heaven and of earth together with Israel. That begins in verse 23. But in speaking to Israel, he said, when you were few in number and of little account and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, going to the Philistines, going to Egypt, going to various places in the Canaanite kingdoms. When you were few in numbers and of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppose them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. So here he is saying that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the anointed ones of God, and that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were prophets of the Lord. You know, the greater definition of a prophet is those to whom the word of the Lord came. Have you ever tried to read in a Bible you're not familiar with? I'm not too familiar with this one. Beginning in verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth, his marvelous works among all the peoples, that is, among all the Gentiles. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. He's offering here to the Gentiles the privilege of coming to the altar of the Lord, not limited to the Jews, and to make offerings unto the Lord. What a broad vision King David had. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be removed. It shall never be overwhelmed by global warming. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, or among the Gentiles, the Lord reigns. Isaiah picked up on this theme, and we read that in Isaiah 56. In Isaiah 56, we read if I can get the pages apart. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteous, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance is revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the Son of Man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me, to hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain. Now the covenant that they're keeping is the covenant given to the Jews. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus quoted this verse. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him beside those already gathered. So this was his call to all the Gentiles to come and worship the Lord along together with Israel. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the fields exult, and everything in it. Doesn't sound very quiet, does it? Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the first time this phrase occurs in the Bible. It was composed by King David himself, and it became one of the chief expressions of praise in Israel. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation. Now, this first two words here, save us, are in Hebrew, the word Hosanna. Hosanna, O God of our salvation. Gather and deliver us from among the nations. That is Israel, from among the nations. But in David's time, Israel had not yet been scattered among the nations. What prophetic foresight. Of course, there are some who would say that this was added later, but the burden of proof is upon them. Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. What a marvelous revelation of God to David. What a beautiful psalm. What an outlook and outreach to all the nations of the earth to come and join Israel in the worship of the God of Israel. The greater part of this psalm was addressed to the Gentiles. So we can take it as our very own psalm too. For we join together with Israel in worship and praise to God. And there will come a time when this psalm will be fulfilled in its fullest sense, when Israel once again becomes a missionary people, and when they will evangelize the whole world. What a wonderful time that will be. Now, there is a time of great darkness settling over this earth. There is a time of rebellion against God and against His Word. There is a time of great wickedness descending upon this country. But there's good news. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But the best news is we won't be here when that time comes. But that's the short-sighted view. The long, far-sighted view is this psalm will be fully fulfilled. There will come a time, as the prophet said, when righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So as old Brother Foster used to say, in nearly every time I heard him speak, which was not too many, when the outlook is dark, the uplook is bright.